He was a Marine and then a state trooper. He's worked with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the city. He's a man of faith and a dogged advocate for young people of all backgrounds. Since 2003, he's been an institution on the Westside Airwaves. Get your pen or your pad or your electronic device. School Talk has arrived. Now, here's your host, Emerson.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. My name is Emerson once again for the 1,215th time. You're not. I got some cracking in my microphone here. Even some popcorn in there, some popcorn in the background, Max. I'm just cracking like crazy. Okay, you got that? You got that. That's Max, my producer. We got student producer. Okay, now here we go. Our main line here is 244-WBDG. That's 244-9234. You can call in if you want to. I got an awesome guest today. Talked about some stuff and things here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Some stuff and things that you'd like to know about. I got an awesome guest. Not going to tell you who it is because I want you to call in when you get a chance. 244-9234. So good morning, Mr. Producer.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Got weekends. What's up with the weekend?
I'll be going to the Indy 11 game on Sunday.
Okay, so look like you're rest out for you got your shirt like ready for NASCAR or something. I don't know.
This is a soccer jersey.
A soccer jersey?
From another team.
Another team?
Yep, this is Atlanta's.
Okay, so are you calling the game or just going there for a spectator?
I'm just going there as a spectator.
Okay, I don't know. You be busy, Max. I don't know what you be calling. You call football, you call basketball, you call soccer, you call cars. I don't know, you know. Things are going pretty good?
Yes, they are.
How's the week going?
It's going good so far, but I'm very excited that it's Friday.
Yeah, how's your mom?
She's doing good.
Your mama said hi. Well, she's listening. Hi, Mom. Good morning. Well, that's great, man. I'm glad, Max, you got a good weekend coming up. I know you're doing things. We do things in the school. What are our youth doing? We got a thing we call the...
Well, the Ben Davis Dance Marathon for Riley Hospital is this Saturday at 6 p.m. It will be at Ben Davis High School. We talked about that last week, so if you want to hear that, go to our podcast there. The WBDG Marathon is coming up May 6th and 7th. If you want to help us raise money or get more information, call 317-988-7122. That's 317-988-7122. We have a softball game this Monday, the 25th. It will be Cardinal Ritter at Ben Davis. That game is right here at 5:30 p.m. Podcast on audioboom.com. Just search WBDGFM. We're also on Spotify and other podcast sites. Our social media at WBDG Indy, except for TikTok at Giant 90.9 and School Talk. That airs every Friday at 7:30 a.m. with replay Sunday at 2 p.m.
Ooh, wait, the big board is big board. That's the big board. Thanks, Max. Hey, I got an awesome guest in the studio today. This is the first time we've had the guest of this magnitude, of this title. Today, folks, we're proud, purple proud, to welcome to the show the Indianapolis City Council President, Vop Bosley. Good morning, Mr. President.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing? What's that president? What's that? We got that president music we used to play when presidents come in here. There you go. Let me stand up and get down. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How you doing? You got that deep, very white voice, y'all. How you doing? You know, I can see him in the City County Council downtown. Listen up, I'm the president of the City County Council, and I'm telling you what I want to do, and I got the vision of the city in my brain. I'm going to tell you what it's like in my brain. So listen, just follow my lead, and you can't go wrong. Is that how it goes?
No, not exactly. Not exactly.
Told you, you don't know what you got until we get on this show. It's School Talk and Emerson, because I am totally off the chain, but it's student produced, so I got to be nice. But I'm glad to have you here, sir.
I'm glad to be here.
I mean, this is your first time in School Talk.
That's right.
We appreciate that. You know, but I don't know what your staff has told you. I don't know what my producer has told you about the show. But here on School Talk, we ask thought-provoking questions. I mean, sometimes downright mind-boggling type questions. I mean, we ask questions in the spirit of Greg Garrison, in spirits of Amos Brown, in spirits of Willie Frank Millerbrook. We answer some tough, we ask tough, tough, tough questions. Here's my first question. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school up in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire? Yeah. Where'd that at? New Hampshire. Okay, college. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and then Columbia University in New York.
Oh, wow. Okay, with the New York, Pittsburgh, were you ever a New York fan or Pittsburgh a sports fan?
Yes, of course. Both of them? You have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pirates for sure.
And now you're a Colts fan.
You know it.
And a Pacers fan.
Absolutely.
You got to be.
I gotta be.
Smart man. We got
best
a new quarterback. We got a new quarterback. So hopefully it's going to be a good year for the Colts. Looking forward to it. So it's always good when they win, and you just got to suck it up when they lose, you know. So it is what it is. But thank you for being here on School Talk. What did you major in college?
Architecture.
So wow.
I'm an architect.
Wow.
By training.
Now I ask these questions, these thought-provoking questions, because it is a student-produced show. And a lot of our students, I'm going to get to what you do downtown in a little bit, but a lot of our students go through the process of trying to figure out what they want to do while they're in high school. Because they think they know everything. I mean, I'm in high school. I know what I want to do. Sometimes you really don't know what you want to do until you get to college. Then when you get to college, you even change your major.
Yes,
what was your major in college? Was it architect?
Architecture.
So you went in with the mindset you're going to build buildings.
That's right.
Now you're building the city. So how did you get from, now I don't want to get ahead of myself, but architecture, building buildings, and now you're in the community, building communities. Well, you're still building stuff, so I guess that's still in the frame.
There's an underlying current.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give the mic to you. Tell me the story of Hypocrisy.
Oh my God.
How'd you get to Indianapolis, Indiana, though? Probably a car, truck, train, plane. I understand that part. But you know what?
I think by train.
Okay. Give me a short version.
All right, short version. I'm a fifth generation Indianapolis native.
Okay.
Right. My mother being the fourth. I'm raising the sixth generation of Indianapolis native. So my mother's from Indianapolis, Christmas Addicts grad.
Okay.
By the grace of God, on Monday, she will be 98.
Push the magic button.
See.
Yeah.
Class of 1940.
Whoa.
My father came from Nigeria. They met at Purdue in the early 50s. And the rest is kind of history.
Wow. Yeah. That is huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. Now, I got to ask the question. How did you get your last name? And what does it mean?
How did I get my last name from my father?
I told you a hard question, bro. I told you. I woke up one morning and
From my father.
How'd your father get his last name? What does it mean? What does it mean? Got to mean something.
All right.
My name don't mean nothing. It just means my wife's worth more money. But
in my father's language, which is Igbo, it is it's a truncation of a word, obeisili. And it means that my heart is inured, or my heart is, you know, has become hard, or is adapting to, you know, hardship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That is deep. I mean, in my business, I'm in sales when I'm not on the radio or cutting grass or doing the honey-do list. But I'm intrigued by people's names, because I always... Or the commercial side, I hear a name, I say, oh man, that's so commercial, man. You could use that name and run a business. Or their name means something. My first name is Emerson, but I've seen it spelled so many different ways. And I've seen young ladies called Emerson, the name spelled a different way. And it's just so unique. Maybe I'm getting old and I'm noticing things I wouldn't pay attention to when I was young. Oh, maybe it is. So your name is Mike. Big deal. What does it mean? My dad's name Mike Jr. So, but it's like, now I got older, I kind of like want to slow down a little bit and say, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of smell the coffee or drink the coffee, smell the grapes, and smell the flowers, and eat the grapes and eat the flowers. But that's not a show there. Dr. Kane said I needed help. Sorry.
It's all good. That is all good.
But that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Now, okay. Now, in your current position, like first, before you became city county president, you had to be a city county counselor.
That's right.
So yes. Your district you represented was district?
I started off in District 15. I now represent District 11. So,
okay.
You know, the maps got redrawn. And so by the 2015 elections, we were on the new maps. And so I'm in District 11.
Okay. Yeah. What was your drive to get into politics in the first place?
It was being impacted by a lady who I admired and respected.
Yeah.
And seeing her passion,
mm-hmm.
and realizing that we can actually make a difference,
mm-hmm.
in the lives of people around us. You know, I lived with my grandparents for many years.
Okay.
As a kid. And you know, the household was an older household, and I got to understand at a heart level the challenges that they faced as, you know, as African Americans, as blacks in, mm-hmm. you know, in America. And it led me to think, what can we do differently?
Yeah.
How do we put it on the table in a way that we can work it through, talk it out, not hide it under a rug, and get it addressed? And I didn't know that at the time, that mm-hmm. that was what was percolating inside. So the lady's name, Julia Carson.
I knew it. Yeah. And folks, this is not scripted, y'all. I did not know, but I knew the flavor of where you was going, because yes. She sat in this chair.
Amazing, amazing woman, with a heart and a well of love and compassion, and a will of steel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a will of steel.
Mm-hmm. She sat in this chair, and she made a comment when she came into the school. We had the school was getting so big. She said, "Emerson, you gotta stop making the school so big." But she sat in this chair, and I got it on video. This is before YouTube. I've been doing the show since 2003. This is before YouTube, before all the cameras. I mean, I got it on camera. I got it on VHS. Got it on VHS. Sitting in this, it's one heck of an interview. It was during the time, and we also had.
You need to put it on YouTube.
You need
to get it converted.
It was Mr. Easter can talk about it all day long. As we did that show, it was just one of the greatest shows that we've done. And then because it was during election time too, when the other candidates wouldn't debate her, we had all three candidates here. We had the first, actually, Channel 8 was even talking about. This was the first time all three of them were in the same spot together to talk about the issues of the city. And it was just so doggone beautiful. Good morning. I got a guest in the studio. How you doing that? So it's like, you know.
I'm a fly on the wall.
She's a fly on the wall. I do have flies on the wall. But anyway, let's get back to your position as City County Council President. I'm old. I'm 67 years old. I remember the Burt Savage day. I remember those days. And during that time, he was one of the most powerful men in the city. Now I'm looking at this man across from me, who's President Bob Ossoli, one of the most powerful men in the cities. Mm-hmm. I know you're humble. I can see it in your spirit. How do you... Now, I'm just going to ask the question. I told you I asked thought-provoking, mind-boggling questions. You are. How do you handle just being the people's servant? I mean, let's just go to your big head. I ain't saying you got a big head.
Well, thank you for clarifying that for anyone who's never seen my head. Thank you. People have all kinds of
images. Everybody just called the president to the council of the head, man. That boy crazy. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you're humbling. I know. I see your spirit. I've seen you in the community.
40 years ago, February, so this was in 1982. I got born again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my walk has not been 100% pure. I have fallen off, backslidden, all kinds of ways. But as I get older, it is imperative that I get on my knees every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, I'll just tell you even a scripture. And now that you mention it, it was Daniel 10.
Okay.
And I was talking about it with my wife this morning. From the moment, let me think, how's that scripture go? From the moment... that you set your heart on understanding and humbled yourself, your words were heard. And that was, you know, that is a reinforcement for me that I'm in a position right now. It is not it is not mine to manipulate, to control, but to do and to work responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts it in perspective for me.
I agree. I got that. So now, dealing with issues in our city, I've seen you out there on the tube talking about the Mo-9 Trail. Some issues. We got some tough streets.
Yeah.
How does a normal citizen, when they look at your position and say, "Can you do something about our streets?" I mean, is that a county council problem? Is that
It's a we thing. It is not someone else's responsibility in that respect. It is each one of our responsibility. I love history.
Okay.
And I love dates. The last time I saw my grandfather was June 4th, 1971. It was a Friday. And as I said, I lived with him.
Okay.
My last vision of my grandfather was him sweeping the sidewalk in front of our house on Park Pershing. And there was a sense of, I'm going to respect my community, and I'm going to show the respect to my community, my neighbors, by how I take care of my property. And so I say it's not a matter of what's government doing, because we have a responsibility and a role, a tremendous role.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to work with our community members hand in hand. We all have to be part of recapturing and re-owning our communities.
In our community, and like my students, my show is a student-produced show, so I deal with a lot of issues that involve my students, teachers, and my parents. And as it pertains to my students and youth violence and gun violence.
When I mentioned my grandfather, yeah. He died that afternoon. That's why I was saying it was the last time that I saw my grandfather. He died that day.
And I'm gonna go back to that right now, because when we think about our elders, and we think about our grandparents and the folks that came before us, the wealth of knowledge that they had and that they gave us, and
this experiences.
And this is for our young folks that don't really connect with their past through their parents or their grandparents. There's a loss, big loss there.
Absolutely.
There's so much to gain in knowledge and wealth.
You know, you were teasing a moment ago about these young folks over here. It might have been before we got on the air, about thinking, hey, I know everything.
Right.
And we don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, even at the age that I am right now, you know, the age my mother is right now, she'll tell you today, babe, I still have something to learn.
Yeah. You tell me when you're done learning. I'm going to your services. When you're done learning, you're dead. Did I say that? I guess Emerson did say that. Because you always learn. I don't know everything. I mean, I'm learning. I do learn from the young people, too. They're surprised that they can teach. But I can learn something from young people. That's why I always listen to them. And as far as young folks in our city and youth crime and guns, what is the city doing? Anything special? I know. I see the news. They talk about youth programs, but anything top comes to the surface from your point of view that can really help our young people stay out of harm's way.
So, you just mentioned right now a number of programs, right? What it takes is the youth to participate in it, and then the adults around them to help reinforce, you know, the learning and the experiences and the encouragement to continue to participate. I was young. I was in high school once.
Mm-hmm. We got that on the tape too.
And without the constant reinforcement of people around me, I could have gone any number of ways. You know, I borrowed a car when I was 14. Okay, and unfortunately had an accident. It's those kinds of things that you need adults around you to correct you. To keep correcting you until your own legs are strong. And
yeah.
It's something that we, throughout our communities, have to continue to reinforce, that we have a responsibility. All of us collectively have a responsibility,
mm-hmm.
Not only to ourselves, but to our youth. And also that we need to get rid of the stigmas that so often make it impossible or difficult to talk about the difficult issues.
Mm.
Emotional trauma, mental illness.
Yes.
If we don't talk about them, if we don't recognize them, if we don't point our loved ones and those around us towards help, then those issues don't get addressed. And when they don't, they fester.
Yeah.
You know, we've put, from the dollars that we've appropriated for this year, we've put tens of millions of dollars into mental health and access to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a matter of connecting folks to those resources, to those opportunities, and to help get them addressed. that's a community-wide, I don't know if the word is challenge, but it's a community-wide responsibility. And whether it is like this young man here, who was the producer of the show, this student, who recognizes an issue with a peer, or whether it is individuals like yourself and myself, who recognize it in a peer or a loved one or a child or even a parent, that we address it, that we talk about it, that we don't hide behind shame that, you know, we got something wrong in the family. We don't want to talk about that. You know, because I've got a family, and I remember even in those days when I was living with my grandparents, they didn't talk about that kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that was swept under the rug.
Yeah.
And if you don't address it, just like any issue, if you don't address it, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
And the potential for harm to that individual, or the potential for that individual to cause someone else harm, exponentially rises.
Well, that fly on the wall, y'all, was a state rep, Renee Pack, from our state representative. She's a fly on the wall. She's joining us in the studio, just hanging out with the president. Great folks, y'all, great folks. When you talk about responsibility, I'm gonna take it right back to the parents. I'm gonna start with the parents first, you know, because you got the city county council, you got the city, you got programs, but you got the parents. When the parents disconnect with that child, that's where it starts to go wrong, in my opinion. I mean, you got young folks that want to go out and do things. And I'm going to keep it real basic. They want to go out and party. They want to go out and hang with their friends. They want to go to the park. They want to go to the mall, you know, and they go unsupervised when they shouldn't be unsupervised. You just go out there and do your thing. You know, a recipe for a disaster, in my opinion. Some kids, and I got five grandchildren. I mean, some kids you can trust, but sometimes you need to supervise your young folk when they're doing something. Sometimes you don't. I mean, we go on field trips, you know, supervised field trips, and there's moments in there where we give them a little space. We ain't too far. We can see them, but they can feel a little independence, you know, but not too much because they're not, I'll just say it, they're not really ready for it. They think they are, and then some folks are and some folks aren't, and that element gets in and messes things up. But I put so much back on it's not a question here. I put so much back on the parents and raising their children. I'm just saying it starts at home.
Yeah. But it's not just the parents. And if the young person doesn't have a parent or a parent who is stable, it still falls back on yourself, myself, Representative Pack, you know, even, you know, our young producer here, to try and come around that person, that young person who appears to be getting off track. It is our responsibility, and whether it's through mentorship, you know, whether it's through working with the parents or the guardians of those those young people, we still have a responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, I'll just say this.
Go ahead.
So, even though we didn't talk about it when I was growing up in the household about certain kinds of issues, like my grandmother, name was, you know, Magnolia Kirk. People called her Miss Maggie. She had kids in the house all the time. And it was, you know, she had X number of just young people and trying to give them stability. A guy I call uncle right now, did amazing things in his life, and his parents weren't there, and he still considers my grandmother.
There you go. Emotional. I feel you.
Because there was that. Listen, baby, if your parents aren't there, you're gonna come on by our place.
Yeah,
you know. And there was that embrace of him. He literally still calls her when he talks about her. Mama, you know, I miss Mama when Mama used to do this, and Mama could cook this, that, and you know, and you know, Mama made sure that I got to school on time and did my lessons and all the rest of it. We still have that. It's a responsibility, even whether or not we want to acknowledge it or not. It's still our collective responsibility as a community.
In the community, as it pertains to growth, this city has grown. I mean, I used to drive Uber. I couldn't drive Uber right now because I wouldn't recognize where I'm going.
And we have a lot of road construction, which we'll be grateful for in a couple of years. But yes, yeah, that makes it hard too.
It's growing. Fountain Square blew up as far as properties, brand new properties, and property values and property taxes. It's happening to the. It's coming to the West Side, the near West Side, Hallville area. The taxes have went up. A lot of the folks are saying their taxes went up, sometimes double, sometimes triple, in that area. New construction has moved in. New permits for new buildings have been submitted for. New properties, new buildings have went up. Are we in the middle, or are we into a situation right now where the West Side is that next side of town that actually, I'll just, you know, just changes, blows up, property taxes will go up, new construction comes in, some changes on the West Side?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a huge concern. It is a big concern because there have been generations of families who have lived in these communities. And the last thing that I want to see is having them priced out. For 6 years, it didn't come forward this year, but for 6 years we've gone, for example, we don't control our how much we can mitigate property taxes at the local level. And that those are powers that are granted by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, folks like our representative here have had it in their hearts as well. How do we address issues of escalating property taxes? Mm-hmm. So for 6 years, there's been, you know, one bill or another to provide local control to, you know, municipalities to, you know, mitigate property taxes, have the power to mitigate property taxes in areas that are undergoing rapid reinvestment. It has faced a lot of headwind, unfortunately. So here's something that is even being, it's even going on right now and may come out by, you know, by midsummer if all can come into agreement. We have a land bank and the city owns a lot of properties.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is, how do we provide an affordable housing period when those properties become available with these sort of goals like this? If an individual or family at 80% or below of area median income wants to purchase those, they would get first dibs.
Okay.
If a community development corporation wants to purchase those available properties, they would get first dibs. If an organization, a not-for-profit organization that is working with, you know, city or state funding, like, you know, the low-income housing tax credits or home funds or, you know, CDBG dollars, if that not-for-profit that works in affordable housing wants to purchase these properties, they will have first dibs, so that it won't just be whoever, you know, sees a piece of property and has the most money can bid, you know, can outbid individuals or CDCs or not-for-profits focused on affordable housing, so that there is that opportunity. Let's stabilize as mm-hmm. much as we possibly can. Let us make sure that, you know, homes in these very areas, I mean, the time I'm talking about living with my grandparents, mm-hmm. I was in Hallville in the 1000 block.
Mm-hmm.
Give you the address, 1026 North Pershing.
Okay.
That families that have been there for generations do not have to worry about, oh my God, my property taxes, I can't afford to live here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not after generations and raising generations of families.
Yeah.
And then what? You know, be displaced?
Yeah.
All that history gone?
Yeah.
No.
First thing comes to mind is gentrification. That's what comes to the mind. Like, you know, I'm being pushed out. You know, I don't see the progress. I see I'm being stepped on. You know, and I understand, you know, I love seeing the new construction. I love seeing the new paint. I love seeing the new buildings. But I don't love seeing the pain and seeing the hurt of the community when they've been there for years. So that's a heck of a plank to walk, you might say, or line to walk from your position. I know the city's not.
It is not a hard line to walk. Look, every city needs development.
Mm-hmm.
And that development, you know, new jobs, you know, new opportunities. But those new opportunities and those new jobs, you know, need to respect, first and foremost, the people who've already been there.
Okay, talk to me.
You know, I want to use an example for like on the east side that Cook Medical is doing.
Okay.
Right? With their new facility, with their commitment to, we're going to hire from the community, the people who live in this community and around this community are going to build here. you know, we are investing in, you know, in this. That I believe should be a top priority, that it's not just about economic development. Mm-hmm. It's also preservation of the history and the preservation of the quality of life of long-term residents.
Okay.
And that is why these things are being discussed. How do we tamp down that impact on families, especially long-time homeowners or even renters?
Yeah.
Let's use the tools that we have currently, and let's see if we can let's push again. And Representative Pack, I'm going. She in here
making news, y'all.
So, in 2023, I would like to try it for the seventh time. Can we get local control that we can then say, this area is heating up? You've been here for 10, 15, 30 years. How do we tamp down your property taxes?
Yeah.
Right? So that they don't escalate at, right, you know, 50%, you know, from year to year, or 30% from year to year. You know, maybe we tamp it down, they will escalate 2%.
Yeah.
You know, 3%.
Yeah.
So that you have the security that I can live in this home that I've been in and my family's been in for generations.
That's huge.
Right?
That's
and then huge. We also keep the traditions and the culture of those folks who have been in that community.
Yeah. I wanna move to that city. So one, I know we're out of time, but I got another one quick question. 16 Tech. Mm-hmm. I saw you on the video. And I saw the video of the setup. That's pretty cool. If folks don't know what I'm talking about, that technology is pretty. So tell me a little bit about from your point of view. What's your thoughts on that?
So, it is a district for, you know, innovation, and a district for, you know, creation. And the positive sides are that it can put Indianapolis, you know, on the map for, you know, creativity and talent attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very same time, oh, by the way, one of the challenges with that, and I'll say that this firm, the Browning Davis team, when those first buildings went up,
mm-hmm,
it was, you're going to make sure that there is minority and women and veteran,
mm-hmm,
you know, businesses that are involved in the construction of this. And they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
They knocked it out of the park. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm an architect, so I've heard for many, many years of people say, well, you know, we couldn't find anybody to build, you know, we couldn't find the whatever it is. They beat down doors to make sure that people knew that the opportunity was there and that they should apply and that they can get it, and they did get it. So on the other side of 16 Tech is the concern then that places like Riverside, mm-hmm, which is right across the street, in a
right,
sense,
16th Street, right, mm-hmm,
may have that same kind of housing, you know, heat investment that says, well, you know, all the new folks coming in, well, I want to live next, you know, near to work. Let me buy a piece of property and then, you know, build a little, you know, build a, you know, a super expensive house,
mm-hmm,
which then, you know, impacts the property values of adjacent homes and therefore the property taxes. It's areas like that that are the greatest concern to me because of the impact that they can have on the residential areas around there. So it is a matter of, let's focus on making Indianapolis great.
Yeah.
You know, let's focus on talent attraction and making a place where people want to live.
Right.
But let's also make sure that people who we already have living here have a quality of life, have a dignity. You know, the Riverside area is one of the most beautiful areas, you know, on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's surrounded by, like, there are three bodies of water that run through there.
Yeah.
Right? Ideal.
Yeah.
You know, minutes from, like, you know, a downtown.
Yeah.
All, you know, things that people...
A bike ride.
A walk.
Yeah, exactly.
A simple jog. Families there need to not be afraid that I'm going to lose this. And, you know, as I said, for generations they've been living there. Families, raising families.
Mm-hmm.
That is a key focus of mine and my colleagues on the council.
Yeah.
How do we preserve that quality of life and the security of longtime homeowners and longtime renters,
exactly,
in those communities, so that they too can participate at 16 Tech,
right?
Not just the new people coming in,
right? That's a great area too. I mean, it is. It's great. It's squeezed right between 16th Street and then the river and
Fall Creek and the Canal Towpath.
Exactly. Yeah. And you got housing coming in there. You got mixed housing coming in. You got restaurants in there. You got some,
which is all the more reason that we need to be intentional about using our city properties to build affordable housing And that's why, you know, this, you know, these discussions about how do we prioritize, mm-hmm. you know, the sale of the properties that we own that come up, you know, with the land bank, how do we prioritize those individuals at 80% mm-hmm. or below of area median income? That's key.
Yeah.
You know, you let the free market, you know, handle everything, you're doomed. We have to be intentional about it.
We appreciate that. I know we're out of time, but I'm all right. They can't fire me because they can't fire me. But anyway, anything you want to leave with our students? Besides money, $10, $15.
Okay. You got a lot of students here. I don't think I can do that one.
I had a guess. It was great. I'll tell you, wait, oh man. They had questions. I'll tell you the story later. But it was pretty good. But go ahead.
I would say the students, yeah, obviously. Students. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have here in the education. Do not take it lightly at all.
Yeah.
Because years to come, you'll wish you'd paid attention, right? Mm-hmm. Even down to the discipline that is required for success in life. And then look out for each other. Learn to look out now, because you're going to be looking out later, or you should be looking out later. But learn to look out for your peers. If you see something, or you know that there's an issue, do your best to surround that person with love, and compassion and understanding, and work it through with them, so that other person does not feel like they're battling it alone.
Man, from the leader of the city, I'll just say it, y'all. From the leader of the city, President, City County Council, President Bob Osley, I tell you, you know, we appreciate you taking time out of your, I mean, busy. I mean, when I say busy, it's a big B, big U, big S, and a big Y to come out and talk to us here at the school. I think you do recognize that these young people are the future of tomorrow. Some of them, they're now. I mean, not necessarily the future of America, but some of them doing some great things now. And you to drop us knowledge this morning was totally awesome. So we totally, totally appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And Renee Pack, thank you for coming in too. I stay rap. Yeah.
Representative, good to see you.
Yes, great. Always. Oh, man. So I don't want to go off the airway, but I got to get the kids back. I call them kids, but just young scholars back to class. And you got to go do some work too, because I know they're waiting for you downtown to sign some papers, make some laws or something like that. So to the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give up, you're going to be giving back. Just remember, your future is in the hands of the one you hang with. Okay, to be a copycat, just copy the rat cat. Hey, copy the president. Copy the president, Bob Austin. You can't go wrong. You could go all the way to be mayor. You could. Did I say that? Oh, what? I'm sorry. Hey, still remember. The views expressed in schools on that TVM views on NGMA. I just love my job, but I gotta do the legal. The views expressed on school talk, next to the views of MST and Wayne Township, or Giant 90.9. The views of me and my guest. So, see you next week on School Talk.